Evaluating website performance. It's all about that slope.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
It's the Conversion Scientist Podcast. I'm Brian Massey, the Conversion Scientist. This column originally appeared on Marketingland, www.marketingland.com. You'll find this podcast and all of my others at the Conversion Scientist, www.conversionscientist.com. When you look at a graph in Google Analytics, is it really obvious what you're seeing? Can you really tell if things are going up or going down? Well, the truth of the matter is, it's hard to tell without some sort of scalar data, some sort of way of assigning a value to what you're seeing. So what we're going to talk about today is how you look at these graphs, assign a scalar value to what you're seeing, and really get a numerical idea of what's going on. So that A, you can compare current performance to past performance. Are things getting better or are things getting worse is basically the question you're trying to ask. Also, to understand which components of your visitors are affecting your online business, which channels are growing, which channels are shrinking, right down to individual blog posts. I'm going to be helping you give a number to these values so that you can determine what's working and what's not in your online business, on your blog, your online store, etc. It's hard to tell from a graph whether things are getting better or getting worse. The graphs that we use in Google Analytics and other analytics packages can give us an idea of what's happening at a very high level, but it's often hard to tell with the human eye whether things are in dire straits or if they're just simply doing a market correction. However, Excel offers us a tool that will help us understand the magnitude of changes in our metrics. We're about to do regression analysis. Tell your friends. Regression analysis is a fancy word for tell me the straightest line through some data points. For a time series graph, like we get from Google Analytics or other analytics packages, we can call a linear regression line a trend line. Now, I prefer a linear regression line because it makes me sound smarter than I really am. We can do this sort of thing easily enough in Excel. What we'll want to do is decide if we're going to look at the data on a monthly basis or a weekly basis or a daily basis. The higher the granularity, the more data points we get to work with, and as with any statistical analysis, the more data points you have, the more accurate your data is going to be. However, as you look at things on a daily basis or a weekly basis, you're going to introduce more jitter, more change. For instance, looking at a graph on a daily basis, you're going to generally see drops on the weekends for business websites and spikes during the week. So this creates a lot of jitter in the data and can absolutely stifle our ability to determine what's going on. So choose the one that gives you the best data without introducing a lot of jitter. And I'm about to give you the tools to help you understand what the jitter is. So it's easy to export data from Google Analytics and from other analytics packages into Excel. Google makes it particularly interesting. It's a click on the export button and you can export to Excel whatever is being shown on the site. For my initial analysis, I started with the audience overview report looking at sessions by week. And I export this to Excel. You get a couple of tabs. The first tab gives you an overview. The second tab gives you actual data. And depending on the report you're looking at, you might get several tabs of data. One of the things that Google Analytics does when it exports data is it creates a week index column. It's actually a string value from 0 through the number of weeks that your report covers. I pulled a report for January 4th, which is a Sunday, through September 26th, which is a Saturday, and this ensures that I'm dealing with full weeks at the beginning and the end of the data. If you're doing monthly data, you'll want to do the same, start on the 1st, ending on the last day of a month so that you're dealing with full month data and the data that you're exporting. Picture an imaginary line passing through the data, the line that you see on Google Analytics, that is as close to all of the points as possible. Now, we can easily calculate this line using Excel. You can start off by creating a graph of the data. Right-click on that graph and click Add Trendline from the drop-down menu that you see. The Add Trendline actually calculates a linear regression line for us through this data. And on your graph, you can see this typically as a lightly dotted line, generally through the middle of your data. This line has an equation that we can pick apart. It follows the formula y equals mx plus b, and you should remember this equation from high school and even college basic math. Now, for reasons unknown to me, the m in y equals mx plus b is slope, and the b in y equals mx plus b is called the y-intercept. I'm sure at some point I knew why m and b were chosen for these. It probably has something to do with the Latin used to describe those. Slope is helpful because it tells us if the data is generally going up or if it's generally going down or if it's flat. Now, looking at a graph that I used in the column, we see a trend line that is flattish to uppish. It's sloping up, but not very much. Let's calculate the slope and find out for sure. So by right-clicking on the trend line in Excel, we can choose to format the trend line. And this gives us a few options on the right as to how we format our trend line. One of these says display equation on chart. It's a checkbox and you should check it. When you do, an equation appears on your graph. And this equation is in the form y equals mx plus b, or y equals slope x plus y-intercept. This trend line, in our case, had a slope of 2.4042 and a y-intercept of 2229.1. That's where the line crosses the y-axis, where x is 0. So let's have some fun with slope and y-intercept. For time series data like we've got, the slope tells us how fast the data is growing or shrinking. The y-intercept can give us an idea of the magnitude of the change, or the rate of change. The slope is normalized, so a slope of 2.404 means that our blog traffic is increasing by about 2.4 sessions each week. Now, if our blog traffic had started at zero, this might sound good. However, the y-intercept tells us the value of the trend line when x is zero, beginning of our data. And we can use this to calculate an initial rate. So our growth rate here is the slope divided by the y-intercept. 2.4 divided by 2,229 is 0.11%. So we're not burning up the internet with this kind of growth. We can simply calculate the slope without doing a graph in Excel. The slope of the trend line for this data can be calculated with the slope function. And the slope function takes two arguments, the known y's and the known x's. The known y's are the values of the traffic that we're calculating, and the known x's is some measure of time, since this is a time series graph. In this case, we're going to use what's called a weak index that Google Analytics delivers to us. Now, when we calculate the slope using the weak index, we actually get a division by zero error. So the weak index values are not what we need because they're strings, not numbers. What we can do is change them, and there's a couple things we can change them to. We want to get the x values right, so we can simply use the value function in Excel to change a weak index of 000 to the number 0, and do that for all of the weeks, and we'll get a weak index. We might also want to convert them into dates using the beginning date of that week. But as it turns out, this is not a good idea. Looks great in charts, but it's not going to be a good idea in the long run. And in the column, I calculate this out for you. We calculate the slope, and in one case, using the week value, we get 2.4. And the slope using the week starts is 0.34. So there's quite different slopes. You may recall that the slope of a line is the rise over the run. So one of our calculations is using steps of 1 week for the run, and the other is using steps of 7 days. So the run of our day-oriented data is 7 times longer than our week-oriented data. And in fact, 2.4042 blah 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 is exactly 7 times more than 0.3434 blah blah blah. This is where we're introducing an error. In the column, I show you a graph of email traffic for the same period. The dotted trend lines on these graphs are the same, you can tell by looking at them, but the graph with the pretty dates has a much lower slope, and it shows the y equals mxb equations for each, and you can see, in fact, that the same data can give you different answers if you don't choose x properly. So not only is the slope difference, but the y-intercept is no longer helpful when you use the dates. The x value is 0 at the beginning of time if you're using dates or some computer estimate of that. So the bottom line of this is be true to your data and only use dates if you have daily data. So what does slope tell us? Well, the right answer for slope here is 2.4. This means that each week we're growing traffic by 2.4 more visits. And that doesn't sound very impressive. So is this really what's happening? Remember that this is for an entire year. The answer is yes, statistically this is what's happening, but not all data fits well into a line. So we can use another value to see how close our line is to the actual data. So we go back to our trend line format and check the box label display R-squared value on chart. This is just below the display equation on chart that we checked earlier. We can get an R-squared value displayed on the graph. Now, if you want to sound smart to your Magic the Gathering group, you can call this the coefficient of determination. The closer that R-squared is to 1, the tighter the fit is of our trend line to our data. So when we calculate the R-squared value on this data graph that we've been finding out, the R-squared value is 0.0118. That's nowhere close to 1. So we can deduce that our data is a poor fit and that our slope really isn't telling us anything helpful. Now, if we just looked at a portion of our graph, we might get a better idea of what's going on. So let's see what the slope is since the low point or the trough of a slow period we've had recently. We want to know if things are getting back to normal or if things are continuing to be slow. Was this indeed a summer slowdown, or is this something systemic to our blog that's causing this slowdown? So by calculating the slope of our line from week 21, which is where the bottom, the lowest point was during the slowdown, we can get a better idea of what's going on recently. Now, we try to be careful not to selectively choose our data points to give us the answer we want. You can very easily go in and choose parts of your graph that seem to have a better story, but this, of course, is the place at which statistics become lies, because we're really forming them to give us answers that we hope to get. So when we do this calculation just on week 21 through week 37 on the graph here, we have a slope of 34, but it was previously 2.4 for the whole year, and a y-intercept of 1,924. It was 2,229 for the entire year. Since this trough then, we've added 34 sessions a week to our traffic. And that's a growth rate of 34 divided by 1924, and that gives us a growth rate of 1.8%. Furthermore, we've got an R-squared value that is 0.42. Now, this is much closer to 1 than 0.0118. So this data is less wiggly than the entire year data was, and more likely to predict the future for us. In this data set, this week 21 through 37, there are 17 data points. The question is this enough to make us confident that we're really looking at a trend? Trends are used to predict the future, and the rule of thumb is this: the more points, the better. So how do we make decisions with slope and y-intercept? Well, Excel offers functions for slope, we know that, but they also offer functions for y-intercept, which is the intercept function, and for r-squared, for RSQ. So we can calculate these easily without going ahead and creating a graph and turning on the equation and the R-squared value and looking at it on the graph. We can calculate them in a sheet. If you go to MarketingLand and visit the Analytics and Conversion column, you are going to find a chart here where I isolate organic traffic, social traffic, direct traffic, email traffic, and referral traffic separately. And I calculate the slope, y-intercept, and the R-squared values for each of these, which allows me to calculate that initial rate value. So this approach can be applied to individual pages as well. In the column, I look at the landing page data on a blog post that we classify as an iceberg. An iceberg has been a huge bulge in our analytics, but the traffic is now dwindling, and essentially it's melting. For this particular post, the initial drop rate is 4.8, which is the slope, divided by 249, which is the y-intercept for this particular data, and that gives us a 1.9% per week drop rate. Now, by week 31, at this rate, traffic has dropped to only 100 visits per week, and so the drop rate is closer to 4.8% at that point. So this is a dying post from the perspective of the traffic that we're getting. Apply these tools to conversion rate, average order value, and goal completions to understand the performance and volatility of your web business. Using slope, y-intercept, and R-squared value, we can quickly evaluate the performance of our online properties over time. We will quickly isolate problems and repeat successes. These are just some of the tools that we apply when we're evaluating a website. What could we do for your website with our analysis capabilities? Find out. Contact Conversion Sciences at www.conversionsciences.com, and we'll tell you the process we go through to isolate problems on your site, verify them, and fix them. More revenue, more leads, more subscribers from the traffic you're already getting. Visit conversionsciences.com. And thank you so much for listening. I'm Brian Massey.